This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Our sex and sexuality series continues now as we focus on gender roles. Societal expectations can seep their way within the gay, lesbian, and bisexual communities. We begin our discussion on gender roles with Jennifer Baumgartner, author of the book Look Both Ways. It's a book on bisexual politics and the role bisexual people play in America. Jennifer, thanks for coming on.
Oh, great to be here.
Let's start with this. Your book talks about three identifying elements of sexuality. Explain what you meant.
Well, I try to break sexuality down to its core components, as I see it, which is it's not simply who you're dating. It's how you see yourself. It's who you have sex with. And it's also who you kind of set up your home with. And so it's these kind of at sometimes competing elements of identity that create sexuality. And I think it's often erroneously boiled down to just who you have sex with.
You also talk about sex not being the main element of bisexuality. Now, I'm reading from the book here, where you say, and I'm quoting, "If I'm dating a man, I'm straight. If I'm dating a woman, I'm a lesbian. But sexuality is not who you sleep with, it's who you are. It doesn't change according to who is standing next to you." So here's my question. How do you determine bisexuality? Is it a state of mind?
It is a state of mind, and I think it's a core element of my identity that I've probably had maybe my entire life, and not saying that I always knew I was bisexual, but the frustration, once I kind of grew up having boyfriends, and once I began having girlfriends, the first woman that came into my life, I was sort of shocked by how suddenly I was a lesbian. Everybody saw me differently, and I was seen as being part of a totally different community, and my relationship was different, and I was alien in some ways. And I'm from Fargo, North Dakota, and I yearned to be connected to all elements of my life, including my past. And I kind of slowly came to realize that this was a very common sort of social justice, civil rights story, which is that people who are marginalized don't have the opportunity to self-define, and then at a certain point they realize, no, wait, it is my right to explain who I am. I'm actually the expert on who I am, not out the outside world. And as soon as I did that, I became more comfortable with this term, bisexuality, although I don't want to impose it on anyone who, you know, doesn't like that word to describe themselves. And I think that I've come to the conclusion that all of my relationships were valid. None of them were just a phase or some weird thing I was doing just because society told me to do it or because I was in college suddenly, so I dated a girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually coming from me, not from the outside world.
Well, you know, your book seems to focus on, and I read it, and it seems to focus on bisexuality from a female perspective. At least that was my take on it, more so than a male view. What distinguishes one gender's bisexuality from the other's?
Well, I really did focus on women and bisexuality, and part of that is because I'm a feminist writer, and even though men are a huge part of feminism, I've always tended to kind of write from a personal place and then extrapolate from there, and so I tend to write more about women. But I think I didn't feel equipped to write about male bisexuality. I wasn't sure how different it was. And I have to say, being on book tour, I've been humbled and kind of embarrassed even by how many men will come to the readings kind of hoping that there'll be something there for them and how little I have to offer. But I've certainly learned a lot. And one of the things I've learned is that, you know, if you're a bisexual woman, they assume that you're really straight, you really want to be with men. And if you're a bisexual man, they assume you're really gay, you really want to be with men. And so I think that the lesson here is we all really want to be with men. Men are in some ways more important. I think sex without a man, what is it even sex?
Well, you know, since we're not able to talk about the gender differences necessarily, let me ask about cultural differences. In fact, are there cultural or even racial connotations to bisexuality? For example, does it differ in any way from group to, let's say, another group?
It absolutely does. I would say in the Native American world, I have experienced on the surface, I'm not Native American, but when I'm interacting in Native American communities, I've experienced that on the surface it seems incredibly hostile to bisexuality or homosexuality. But a little bit deeper down and with more of a traditional understanding of the culture, there's actually a tremendous history that understands kind of the fluidity of gender, A, and also the fluidity of sexuality and who we love and how and has a lot of space, I think, to be honoring. Within the African American community, I guess I've seen more of a sense that bisexuality is very dubious, that people are encouraged, I think you could say this across the board, but people are really encouraged to deny bisexuality. And so then when it does come up, it's more harmful for everybody involved. I think the bisexual person has to lie about their relationships. And then the people who are being lied to are, you know, being betrayed in various ways. I'm white, and I guess I would say in my world, and again, being raised in Fargo, North Dakota, I find that there's a lot of tolerance, but not necessarily acceptance or understanding. And I think tolerance of gay people is kind of based on this idea, oh, well, they were born that way. There's really nothing we can do about it. God made them that way, so, you know, whatever. But acceptance and understanding is actually a lot deeper. It requires relationships and imagining and actually respecting that somebody could choose to love somebody of their same gender even when they had the option not to, mm-hmm. and really believing that it is a choice and that it could be a beautiful, honorable choice.
Well, to follow the point about understanding even further, I know that you have a son. I'm not sure of his age right now.
He's 2.5.
So this is not really... It's not really an issue yet, but eventually he will be older. Have you thought about how to communicate this very complex, as you even admitted in the book, this is a complex set of circumstances to deal with, even for an adult. Have you thought about how you're going to communicate this to develop understanding with him?
Yeah, I really have. And I think that my whole philosophy with my son is just to be myself the whole time, not to like lecture him about my personal philosophies, but just to be myself. There's no secrets. He will know. One of my best friends is my ex-girlfriend, Anastasia. She's in the book, and she's over all the time. And when it's appropriate, we will say, you know, mommy and Anastasia used to go out, and her son, little son, will know the same thing. It will be open. And I think that I'm going to be learning a lot from his generation. I'm 37. I learned so much from high school students already because they're so... What they can imagine is so much greater than I could at that age because the world has changed a lot. You know, in Fargo, I'm sitting here in Fargo right now, so it's really on the mind. Mm-hmm. The recent prom from my high school, for the first time, two guys went together as dates. That would not have happened when I was at Fargo South High. And it's really beautiful to me to see those changes. So I'm always looking to future generations to kind of teach me.
So the new millennium has opened some doors, maybe not all the way, but some. Somewhat.
Oh, I feel hopeful.
That was Jennifer Baumgartner, author of Look Both Ways, joining us from our New York bureau to talk about bisexuality and her book, Look Both Ways. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.